So now the third thing is, as an obstacle, we looked at ego, we've looked at our energy, and also the way that we talk to ourselves. How do you talk to yourself? If you think, here's one of my favorite quotes, the creative source in your life, here it is right here, this creative source. This source reacts to your belief in shortages with a fulfillment of your belief. If you believe there's shortages out there and you can't attract them into your life, now this is a source that is unlimited abundance. It just is a constant state of creating. It's always creating, okay? So it doesn't know anything about shortages. If you come to this source with a belief that there are shortages in terms of your life, it will fulfill your belief. If you believe that you can't be healed, that it's just impossible for you to be healed, if you believe you can't be happy, if you believe that you have to be miserable, if you believe that you can't attract the right person, if you've got something that you want to fund, some project that you want to fund, and you can't get it funded, and you come to this source with a belief in shortages, it will fulfill your belief. It only knows how to be. Remember what I said earlier. You are at one with this, and you are also at one with all of its principles. And you have to contemplate yourself as connected to, in harmony with, in rapport with this. It's like there's a game that's been on television for years. It's called the Match Game. And this match game is a fun little game to watch because you get people who you really think know each other, and they say something and they try to match it up. You're always going to, you want to get into a match game yourself. And the match game you want to be into is one in which you match up with this source. You're going to always try to be matched up with that. What I'm asking you to do in this program, in an understanding intention and the power of intention, I'm asking you to see yourself at every moment of your life when you're having a thought, when things aren't working, when you're not feeling well, when the right people aren't there. You could say something to yourself. I heard people say this, you know, that I tell people always, think from the end. Think from the end. So I was talking to a man one day down in where I work out in the gym, and I said to him, he's been sick. He's got nose running. He's got, you know, Snoopy's running out of his nose. He's got, disgusting. And I said, how long have you been sick, Marty? You will never believe this answer. He said, in 3 weeks, it'll be a month. What kind of thinking is that? I was changing plane in Dallas one time, and there was about 8 minutes to go before I had to make a connection, and the woman next to me, she said, I'd really appreciate if I could just step in front of you because I'm going to make my connection. She said, you're going to have to change trains and get to another terminal. She said, there's no way that you can make your connection. She's still in Dallas. I think from the end, I see myself as already connected to that which I want to attract into my life. And if it doesn't work out for some reason, I don't use blame, I don't get anger, I just simply say to myself, this is the way it is supposed to be. And I'm at peace with it. I choose to be at peace because this is peace. You want to watch the resistance. What kind of self-talk do we have? If you think about what is missing in your life, and you talk to other people about what is missing in your life, and you share a lot with what's missing in your life. I'm missing the right person. My soulmate has never showed up. You know, I'm missing the money. I don't have the money. And you talk about all the things that are missing in your life. Here's your connection to source. Remember, you're always connected. The question is, are you ready to stop living at ordinary levels of consciousness? Are you willing to live at a spiritual level of consciousness in which you are in rapport with that which provides everything? So if you're thinking about what's missing and you go to this universal source asking to have fixed what is missing in your life, you'll have your belief in what's missing continue to be refocused for you. In the Old Testament it says, as a man thinketh, so is he. If you think about what is missing, don't be surprised if you keep attracting what's missing into your life. If you think about what always has been, then don't be surprised if what always has been is what keeps showing up in your life. Because thoughts are energy. And the thought of it's always been this way and there's nothing I can do, resistance. What emotion am I feeling? Frustration. I want to change that. What is my guidance system? I'm going to see how in harmony am I with this energy of source, with the energy of intention. How in harmony with it am I? The source of all doesn't know anything about things being missing. There's nothing missing in this universal source. And you emanated from that. You are a piece of that. If you're always thinking about what they want for you, and there's no shortage of them, they're called relatives. I'm going to write a book someday that's going to be called Your Friends Are God's Way of Apologizing for Your Relatives. Why? Because, by the way, I gave this same talk to your relatives and they applauded even louder. Okay? Because a friend is someone before whom you can think aloud. A friend is not someone who makes demands on you and tells you what you should be doing or what you shouldn't be doing. There are very often, because we believe that we're related to people, we have talk, and then what happens with us is that we start talking to other people about what they want for us. And we despise what they want for us. We get angry at them for even wanting that for us, and then we get surprised when what they want for us keeps showing up. See, self-actualizing people, Abraham Maslow once said, the difference between self-actualizing people, the highest functioning people, and everybody else is that self-actualizing people must be what they can be. Self-actualizing people must be what they can be. What can you be? What can you be? And I'd like to suggest to you that if you look, I'm going to take a pair of magical binoculars now. And I'm going to take these binoculars, and I'm just going to assume that I am now looking through these magical binoculars at my source, where I came from. The question I ask at the very beginning, where did I come from? The answer to that is, I came from a field of energy, and a particle was formed out of that field that became everything I needed for this physical journey. My birth and my death were all in there. My height, the color of my skin, the hair falling out, all of the things that are taking place in this physical body were all handled there. But they were also handled before that source hit the world of material. And when I shift and understand that what I came from, what I'm looking for here, I'm looking to see, what does it look like? What does this look like? I call these in the book, in The Power of Intention, I call them the faces of intention. The seven faces of intention. And any time in your life when you are not in harmony with these seven faces, you are stopping the miraculousness, the miracle, the mystical mystery that you are, that not only decided the shape of your eye before it became a particle, but decided the shape of your life as well. You came here from a field of energy that has no limits. The first of these seven faces is called the face of creativity or creation. And I suggest to you that there's an intention, and intention is one of the chapters here. It is my intention to live my life on purpose. Here is the source. So beautiful. This is where I emanated from. And this source is always creating. And you, as a being who has emanated from that but has taken on an ego, has what I call summoning power or pulling power. You can pull from this source and be what it is, or you can have resistance to it. How much summoning power do you have? How much of this source are you able to summon? When you are on purpose and creating in your life, one of the great teachers in my life was a man named Patanjali. And he had an observation about being in spirit. The word in spirit creates a word called inspire. And Patanjali put it this way. He said, when you are inspired, in spirit, when you are inspired by some great purpose, some extraordinary project, all of your thoughts break their bonds. Your mind transcends limitations. Your consciousness expands in every direction, and you find yourself in a new and a great and a wonderful world. And then he said something so powerful. He said, dormant forces, like forces that you didn't think were accessible to you, dormant forces, faculties, and talents come alive. And you discover yourself to be a greater person by far than you ever dreamed yourself to be. Those words bring tears to my eyes. They're so powerful. When you are inspired, when you are in spirit, when you're in spirit, you are creating. When you are creating, everything is working. My teacher in India one time, Nisargadatta Maharaj, said, when he was asked the question, there's wars going on in Pakistan, there's people having difficulties here, there's people dying, there's starvation, how can you say that I can heal myself and how can you be at peace when you see all of this going around? And you know what he said to his devotee? He said, in my world, nothing ever goes wrong. What a powerful idea that is. You can't get sick enough to heal those people who are sick around you. You can't get poor enough to take care of the lack of abundance in so many people's lives. The only thing you can do to help that, as I'll be talking about a little later, is to connect to this. You know, when I was 19 years old, I joined the Navy right after high school in 1958. And I was going overseas to connect to my ship after having gone to school. And I was standing at the dock boarding a ship called the USS Vega, which is a refrigerator ship, which was taking me across the Pacific Ocean in 29 days to meet the USS Ranger, an aircraft carrier at that time, the largest ship in the world, and I was assigned to it. And it was docked in a place called Yokosuka, Japan. And I took a boat, this refrigerator boat, over to Sasebo in southern Japan, got on a train, 19 years old, and was going to catch my boat 29 days later. 19-year-old kid. And as I got on the boat, never having been on such an adventure before, my Uncle Bill, who was a school teacher in Hayward, California, one of my heroes, one of the reasons why I'm here today is because of my Uncle Bill Volley, he handed me a book. And it was a collection of short stories by a man named Leo Tolstoy. He said to me, as he handed it to me, he said, read The Death of Ivan Illich by Leo Tolstoy. And The Death of Ivan Illich is a story of a man very, very quickly who was a judge in Moscow. And he went back and forth every day to work, and he hated his work, and he hated his life, and he hated his wife. And he hated everything about what he was doing, and yet he still pursued it. And he got to the end of his life, and he was lying on his deathbed, and he looked up at his wife, who was holding his hand, and he looked into her eyes, and I was 19 when I read this, and it still gives me goose flesh. He said to her as he died, what if my whole life has been wrong? And I took out a pad of paper and I wrote down my first of my 10 secrets for success in inner peace. And I started a journal at that time and it said, Dear Wayne, don't die with your music still in you. Don't die with your music still in you. I would suggest to you, if you are not creating, and if you wonder what your purpose is, and so many people wonder, what is my purpose? And they talk, I don't know what my purpose is. You know what that is? Your thoughts about your purpose are your purpose trying to reconnect to you. Like if you want to quit smoking, and people say, oh, it's such a hard thing to do. Well, of course, that's resistance. And then, you know, who wants to do hard things when easy things like smoking are available? But if you, and people say, well, I've been thinking about it. I said, keep thinking about it. Just keep thinking. If you want to lose weight, keep thinking about it. Put your attention on it. Surround yourself with those kind of thoughts because the thinking about it process is a part of your connecting to it. Eventually, you will connect to it and you will begin to act upon what those thoughts are. But you got to start by thinking about it. And the ultimate purpose you can have in your life, I used to have a jacket that I hung on my closet door. And the jacket had all of the pockets ripped off. I took a razor blade to all the pockets. Because someone had once said to me that the last jacket you wear doesn't need any pockets. So, because you're not taking anything with you in your pockets, all right? So every time I'd walk into my closet and I'd look at this tattered jacket with no pockets in it, it was a reminder. You're going to have to wear a jacket someday that doesn't need any pockets, all right? And that what... So what do you do with your life? Your life is like a parenthesis in eternity.
You show up from an infinite source. You materialize.
You're a particle. Everything you needed for this life is in it. And then you close parentheses. What can you do with your life? You can't take anything with you. You came from nowhere. N-O-W-H-E-R-E. You show up in now here. N-O-W-H-E-R-E. It's all the same. Just a question of a little spacing. And where do you think you're going? Back to... You ain't going nowhere. You're going nowhere. From nowhere to now here to nowhere, it's all the same. The only thing you can do with your life is give it away. When people say to me, what is it that I can do with my life? What is my purpose? My answer is always the same. Find a way to be of service. Find a way, whatever it is, doesn't matter if you're serving ice cream cones in Alaska. It doesn't matter if you're raising horses in Montana. It doesn't make any difference. I had a woman come to me one time who wanted to adopt a child in Moldova. I had to look it up. Moldova. She saw this little face on a program on one of the stations there. I think it was on a PBS station. And she couldn't get that face out of her mind. She became on purpose. She began to live her life on purpose. She went to Moldova and brought home her little son. And it's like, whatever it is when you are of service, if you're giving your life away, and if you don't know how to do that, you suspend your ego. You understand that living on purpose means there's no accidents. That you're aligning yourself with purpose. You ignore other people when they tell you what you should be doing. That's what Ivan Illich didn't do. You just ignore it. You don't have to have a fight about it. You can say, thank you for sharing. I appreciate that. It's very helpful. I've never thought of that before. I'll consider that. That's how you handle all conflict. Can I join up with this source energy or can't I? As soon as you start striking out, you're off of purpose. You have to contemplate yourself, surrounded by the conditions you want to produce. That's the first phase of intention.